This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Can you talk about how you came to the project and what working on the project was like?
I read the script. One of my representatives read it first and saw the role of Becky and thought that I would be right for it. And I read the script and just loved it. You know, I love this world that Adrian created. And it was a true passion project for everybody that was working on it. I mean, it was a low-budget, independent film, and we shot it in 20 days, and anybody that was involved with it was there because they loved the script and they loved Adrian.
So out of all the things that she could have obsessed about, how did you come to having them, or how did you guys come to having her obsess about the Cemetery of Earth?
Of her breasts. That was already in the script when I read it. I mean, Adrian, I don't know how she came up with that, but it made me laugh when I read it. So, but, you know, I guess people have odd things that they obsess about, especially with their looks. And then, and then they feel like, oh, if that one thing was different, my life would be perfect, or my life would be better. And you're like, yeah, no, it wouldn't.
Did you speculate on what part of the... It's supposed to be a small southern town. Did you speculate? Well, Mayberry?
We talked about it because... And Adrian was very specific about it being any town, USA. She didn't want it to be one specific place. So, and I think that was a great choice because when you watch the film, you're not distracted by, oh, what town is that? And where is it? It's like, it's every... state. There's a town like that, I think.
For the accents.
I don't recall. I think I'm sure there must have been somebody guiding us, but my memory is horrible. But yeah, I don't know. It's not a good answer.
Andy
but
fit right in,
yeah, Andy, oh yeah.
Do you have any experience as a waitress?
My first job was a waitress, and I waitressed for a long, long time. I was a very bad waitress. I didn't care if people had ketchup or if they were allergic to fish. It really didn't bother me either way. I didn't care. Yeah, it was bad. But it's, you know, it's a good way to make money. And it's a fun job if you're working with fun people. I remember that being like the saving grace of that job.
Did you make a good friend?
I made some very good friends. My waitressing days, I made friends that have lasted a lifetime.
If the characters in Waitress were real people, which one would you most like to know and be friends with, and which would you least?
Oh, jeez. Well, I would love to know Ogie. He is such a quirky, lovable character. You just really want to hang out with him and spend some time with him. And probably, maybe Earl. Don't really need to hang out with Earl that much. I think I've known a few Earls in my day, and I avoid them at all costs.
You're on a small show that nobody likes called Curb Your Enthusiasm. What can we look forward to with this upcoming season, and how has Larry changed as the show has been over the seasons?
In real life, how has Larry changed?
Sure.
I don't know if he has. He's still the same cranky guy. Yes, there'll be another season. I can't really talk about it too much because Larry's very secretive about storylines and things of that sort. But you'll see things that you haven't seen before on Curb Your Enthusiasm this season. And I don't know. I would have to say... He would be mad at me for saying this, but he seems to be able to enjoy it all a little more.
At the end of last season, it ended on such a note that a lot of people thought this could be the end.
Yeah.
This upcoming season, is it the end, or can we look forward to this probably another one?
Well, if you ask Larry, he would say it's the end. But if you ask me, I would hope that there would be another one. I don't know. Nothing's definite with him. He says 99% sure that it's over. But see, I cling to that 1%.
Well, let me ask, at the end of the last season, did you guys really think that this is it? You know, because it ended, it had an ending without spoiling anything that was, you know, this really felt like it could be.
We can talk about it now because it's already aired. Last season. Are you talking about last season? When he told me that he was going to die, I said, well, okay, then is it over? And then he told me that, he just stays dead for a few minutes and then he comes back. And I said, okay. So, he doesn't die again. If that's your question.
No, I mean, it just...
Will it end in a way that the show could come back for another season?
Sure.
I can't tell you that either.
Back to Waitress.
Yeah.
This has obviously been a very, probably emotionally up and down experience.
Very.
With everything that happened.
Yes.
And not wanting to bring up any uncomfortable wounds. But
it's okay.
Can you just talk about Adrian and what it was like going through the second half of this experience, like going to Sundance.
Yeah.
And having her not be there, and then the reaction plus the huge, it was one of the biggest buys at Sundance, and everything you've experienced first, like how that relates to your experience with Adrian.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, Adrian and I were the same age. We had a daughter the same age, and we really connected immediately. She was a very funny, intelligent, passionate person, and when we were shooting the film, we all had a really great time shooting. You know, and looking back, I mean, how can you possibly know that this is the last time you're going to see this person? And you can't know how much you should be drinking this person in because you don't know that they're not going to be there tomorrow. So, you know, it's quite a life lesson. And when we went to Sundance, Carrie Russell and I had not seen the film before. So we sat there and watched it for the first time in an audience with 1,200 people. And it was an overwhelmingly emotional experience because there was an excitement to it because the film was beautiful and it was so well received and people laughed and they cried and a lot of people didn't know Adrian, they didn't know the story of Adrian, and yet still so touched by this movie because independent from what's happened, it's a great movie. So there was a sense of joy, there was a huge sense of sadness, and there was also a sense of anger because it's not fair that she's not here with us, and it makes you very angry to think that this could happen. And her family was at Sundance, and on one hand everyone's so happy and excited about the success of the movie, and on the other hand it's impossibly tragic.
Did it change how you live your own life in terms of living life to its fullest, or?
Well, that's a good question. It should. But, you know, I, this is silly, but when I was in high school, I was very fascinated about the idea of death and dying, just because it happens to everybody, and I don't know why our society doesn't talk about it more, and why we don't appreciate each other more. And I remember going to see someone speak about it, and she said, you know, really pay attention to the people in your life, because when you walk out the door, you don't know when you're going to see them again. So if you had a fight with your daughter or your mother or your whomever, don't walk out the door like that. You know, make sure that that they know how you feel about them. So I do try to lead my life telling the people around me how much they mean to me.
Just to follow up to your response about Ogie being the character
that
you would like to hang out with, is getting bad, quirky poetry better than getting no poetry at all?
Absolutely. A bad, quirky poetry might be better than some of the good stuff. Because it really comes from the heart.
I'm curious, what else can we look forward to seeing you in besides Curb?
That's a good question. Well, I made a movie called The Grand, an improvised comedy about a poker tournament that's going to premiere at the Tribeca Film Festival next weekend. And that's very exciting. It's, you know, Woody Harrelson and Ray Romano and David Cross, Judy Greer, Richard Kind. There's some very funny people in this movie. And it's a crazy, funny movie. So that's going to come out. We'll see what happens with that movie. And I just wrote a television show, not to star in, but produce, about personal assistance. So we'll see what happens with that. It looks like E might be doing it, so...
Are you one of the players in The Grand? Because I
am.
Celebrity.
Yeah. Yeah. In The Grand, it really comes down to this final table at this tournament, and I'm the only woman in the tournament. And yes, I do play in real life. So, and we shot in Las Vegas, and we stayed at the Golden Nugget, and it was, you know, a dream. When I wasn't shooting, I was playing poker, and they would just page me and tell me when it was time to go to the and back to the set.
Why is there this mania about poker now?
Well, where else can you look in someone's eyes and lie about something and it's perfectly acceptable? Not only acceptable, it's expected. I love it.
So was the ending improvised as well, or was that...
You know, it's funny that you asked that. It was, because Zach Penn, who directed the movie, he wanted to play this out. He gave everybody a certain amount of chips because it was supposed to be at a certain time in the tournament, and he let us play out the tournament. And Ray Romano was playing my husband, and he was getting ready to go out of the country, so we had to shoot the ending both ways before he left. So we had to shoot a scene where I won, we had to shoot a scene where I lost.
So did you actually play it all out as one game at times, just, and, like, were you like, I'm going to win?
Oh, everybody at that table wanted to win. We had our own bets going, and the crew had their bets going.
Favorite pie and favorite waitress from Alice, assuming you watched the show.
Yeah, of course. Well, of course that would have to be Flo. And what's not to like about Flo? And my favorite pie, I do love key lime pie.
What's the experience, what's the atmosphere, the shooting, this film? It's kind of three girls, kind of looks like a kind of became really good friends.
We did. We did become very good friends. And the atmosphere was what it looks like in the movie. I mean, we had so much fun hanging out together. And I think everybody had a great deal of respect for each other. I mean... The other actors that are in this movie are exceptional. So, you know, you're watching people and you're watching them do their scenes, and it's very inspirational.
Can we go back to the E project for a second?
Okay.
Can you explain a little bit about what your role is and also, you know, what it's about?
Well, you know, my role would be creator and producer. And it's about personal assistants. I was a personal assistant for a while, so.
So is it a reality series?
No, it would be it's a scripted show.
And personal assistants to celebrities or?
Celebrity, director, two celebrities and a director, yeah.
So has that experience made you more sympathetic toward any assistants that you may have?
Yes, terribly. I mean, to the point where I'm almost apologizing for asking them to go pick up my laundry. But, you know, because I've been there, I know how it feels. And I always tell my assistant, I say, you know, if I ever ask you to do something that you really don't want to do or feel uncomfortable about it, just let me know.
Where did that fall in your work resume? I mean, were you at the Groundlings when you were
I was at the Groundlings, yeah. I was performing at the Groundlings, and I was an assistant for Rob Reiner and his family.
How true or false is the Hollywood stereotypes about how people treat their assistants?
Well, I think it's about the same as any stereotypes in this town. You know, whether it be a stupid, good-looking actor. You know, not all good-looking actors are stupid. And not everybody's mean to their assistant. And at the same time, the world of assistance is a different world out here, because you have people with so much money and influence, and really, you're, as an assistant, you can be asked to do the strangest things. I mean, when I was assistant, I remember talking to another assistant, and she said that she was getting ready to fly to San Francisco to pick up a cake and fly back, and she bought a seat for the cake. So it's like only in LA, you know. So,
what was the strangest thing you ever had to do for Rob Reiner?
I signed a confidentiality agreement, so I can't answer that.
But look, they can't do that now. You couldn't take a cake on a plane.
Probably not now, right? You're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Is it harder for you to do a scripted thing than unscripted now, or are you just so comfortable with
it? No, it's not. I actually have a deep appreciation for writers. And I love a well-written script. It's, you know, it's really goes back to my roots, and as a theater major, so I have a deep appreciation for that.
Have you picked up any showrunning tips from Larry David?
I've learned a lot from Larry David. I really have. So yeah, I will hope to apply those. I wouldn't be the showrunner for this show, but working with our showrunner, yes. I'll whisper in his ear.